Have you ever gone into the polling booth and felt like you were just picking a name out of a hat? Well, sometimes that literally happens.
Especially in these off-year elections, how certainly every vote does count.
That's County Clerk Kathy Michael. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for The Leadoff on WGLT and WGLT.org comes from Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.
It's Tuesday, April 27th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with a reminder of why it's so important to vote in local elections. Officials have been tallying up the results of the April 6th election, you know, the official results. Most of the time, there's a winner, a loser, end of story. Not so in Danvers, a village of about 1,100 people just west of Bloomington Normal. Incumbent Michael Devers and challenger William Lally were both running for Danvers Town Council. Both got 78 votes exactly. So yesterday at the Government Center, an election judge literally pulled a name out of a hat to decide who will be seated. And Lally was the winner. Here's McLean County Clerk Kathy Michael.
So you just don't realize, and especially in these off-year elections, how certainly every vote does count. And you've seen them even in the presidential or gubernatorial years. You know, some of them are very close.
Voter turnout in Danvers was just under 18%. That's despite a pension issue facing the village that was a key issue in the campaign. Here's Lally.
Politics, regardless of how sophisticated we want to make it seem, it is still essentially something that we as humans make up as we go along.
Michael Devers says he decided not to seek a discovery recount, which actually comes out of the candidate's pocket.
I would hope that we're able to count 78 votes accurately. So, yeah, if it came to this, I think it's appropriate.
Clerk Kathy Michael says this need for a tiebreaker happened one other time during her 11-year tenure. That time they used ping pong balls to randomly choose the winner. WGLT student reporter Katrina Peterson reported that story. Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. McLean County's COVID-19 testing positivity rate dropped nearly a full percentage point, down to 4.3%. One new death was reported yesterday, a man in his 60s who was not in long-term care. Illinois State University's president says he's moving ahead with plans for a new engineering college, despite recent opposition in the academic senate. And a rural McLean County police officer, Kelly Gordon, has reached a plea deal in his official misconduct and computer tampering case. He'll serve probation and can't work as a police officer anymore. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. Looters who stormed several local businesses and damaged police cars last summer are facing serious financial and legal consequences. That includes restitution of more than $100,000 in cases resolved so far. The judge's approach to sentencing also removed second-chance probation as an option for defendants. That's a decision that closed the door on dismissal of charges after probation is completed. We spoke to Bloomington defense lawyer Jennifer Patton. She represents a college student charged in the looting incidents. Patton says a felony record can impact a person in many different ways.
First of all, when you're a convicted felon, that's something that most employers will want to know, and it obviously makes it more difficult to find employment. Also, it affects a lot of licensing. So, for instance, CNAs can't get their license if they have a felony conviction. Nurses can't get their license if they have a felony conviction. It also can affect if you are a student. A question on FAFSA is, you know, have you been convicted of felony? And so I think I'm not positive to the extent, but it either eliminates federal financial aid or at least decreases it. So it can have a lot of effect on people that are attempting even to try and lead a, you know, law-abiding and productive life and try and turn things around for themselves. There's a lot of barriers that then are put up because they won't have a lot of the same openings that a non-felon would have.
A review by WGLT of a dozen of these plea agreements approved so far shows debts averaging $100,000 for eight of the defendants who are pretty young, ranging in age from 19 to 39. What do you make of the financial burden that's coming out of this?
So, I mean, eventually, it could be the basis to violate any probation orders that are entered. Obviously, at that point, they would have to be showing that they were willfully failing to appear and that they had the ability to pay. Unfortunately, I don't know that many of them would have the ability. At that point, the court can send that to collections, or the clerk can, and so it could affect their credit. Again, could have a lifelong effect.
What about the second chance probation program? It's generally speaking not being offered in these cases. And we know that that would give people a chance to literally outlive their mistake by having that felony removed from their record if they were to successfully complete it. Does not having that put them at a big disadvantage?
It is. I mean, because I think people that had the mitigating factors prior to making the decision that were made on these nights, and they chose to, you know, participate in this looting, at the point that they are wanting to make some change to their life, I think second chance probation gives you that opportunity that you either abide by the rules and show that you are going to change your life, or if you don't, then you're back right where you started with this felony conviction. Unfortunately, I think the setback to second chance probation here would have been the restitution, because again, I don't know too many people who could pay these amounts of restitution back to these insurance companies that paid, you know, for the damage to the stores. I don't know too many people who could pay for that, whereby they're not in compliance then with probation.
In general, some people will say, well, these people went out there on those nights and they did these things. They made a decision. But another argument is that should your first mistake, and for a lot of these people, it is their first felony, should that be one that impacts your life in so many different and substantial ways for years and years to come?
Well, I think there's so many things that when we have somebody that makes their first mistake, they're given a second chance and they're given the opportunity to show the court and the public that, yes, I can be a law-abiding citizen and I've learned from this mistake. And unfortunately, we're not giving these first-time offenders, the ones that are first-time offenders, we're not giving them that same opportunity.
That's Bloomington defense lawyer Jennifer Patton, who represents a college student charged in the looting incidents. She spoke with Edith Brady-Lunny. Before we let you go, the Connect Transit Board of Trustees meets today at 4:30. On the agenda is discussion about implementing a new fares plan starting June 1st. That's it for today. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at cira.com.